Dear friends, let me just ask you now, I urge you to turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians tonight, or this morning. You know what time of day it is. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be in verses 19 to 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. And the title of this morning's sermon, Praying for a Bold Gospel Witness. Praying for a Bold Gospel Witness. Ephesians chapter 6, we will read this morning. Verse 19, at the end of verse 20. Dear friends, the Word of God says, and also for me, that is, pray for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Dear friends, this is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious Father, bless us, your people, this day as we come to your Word. Father, enlighten our minds, enlarge our hearts, equip us by the truth and by your Spirit to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Lord Jesus, how we long to be like you. How we long to love as you love, to serve as you serve, to enjoy and worship the Father as you love and enjoy and worship the Father. Father, thank you for the privilege to be your ambassadors. Lord Jesus, you've chosen us as your spokesman to the world. Oh Lord, what a high responsibility. Oh, what a joyful privilege. Lord, let us never forget both the duty and joy we have in serving you and bearing witness to the gospel to the world. Father, equip us to know the truth and speak the truth. Spirit, give understanding, we pray. Bless us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, let us devote ourselves to constant prayer, asking the Father to strengthen us, his church, by his Spirit, to boldly proclaim the gospel of his Son. Friends, this morning, Paul is illustrating for us how to pray for boldness in our witness, how to pray not only for ourselves, but also how to pray for our church family, how to pray for the church scattered abroad to be bold and faithful in the proclamation of the gospel, which is our primary task. Our primary task, as one author said, is to make the invisible kingdom of God visible. And we do so by our faith in Christ, our love of serving him, and going about the work he's given to us to be and make disciples. And friends, this is something that's not just one compartment of the church ministry, but really it is the overflow of our worship, of our devotion to King Jesus to carry out the Great Commission, to push back against lostness in our own community and throughout the world. So, to recap for you, friends, remember in verses 10 down to verse 20, but really at the end of verse 18, we've seen Paul give this wonderful graphic illustration of Christian perseverance. And we are called to fight the good fight. That as Christians, we are called to put on the whole armor of God. And I told you that the armor of God is Christ. All that belongs to Jesus, all that he is, and all that he has done for us. By faith, we put on Christ. And the Father bestows upon us all the blessing of our perfect redemption in Jesus. And so, we're putting on each of these pieces of armor. But the battle wages. We are battling the flesh within, the world without, and the devil himself. So, Christian, never forget that you are in a battle. You are in a battle against sin within and evil without. So we dare not be idle, and we must depend upon the sovereign grace of God. Remember verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Where does your strength come from? It does not come from you, but it comes from him. The Christian is strong in Christ. As we are united to Christ and abide with Christ, Christ strengthens us daily to die more and more to sin and to live more and more unto righteousness. It is Christ who strengthens us in the day of trouble and sorrow, doubts and weakness, so that we persevere in hope. Our strength is in Christ. So, dear Christian, are you availing yourself of all the resources you have in Christ? Remember the gospel message. God has announced it to you. Your salvation, fully and completely, is in Jesus. So hold in Him. And it's the Spirit who applies all of this truth to our mind and to our heart. In verse 18, we saw how one of the essential resources a Christian has is prayer. In fact, it's indispensable. None of this can be done without devoting ourselves to constant prayer. We talked last Sunday about the privilege of prayer, how we must pray in the Spirit, how we must pray with perseverance, and how we make supplication for all the saints. And now in verse 19, Paul includes himself. I love this because Paul is not too proud to ask for prayer. Paul is not too mature in Christ to say, well, I have no need of the church of God. Paul understands he needs the church. Dear friends, you need the church. You need brothers and sisters in Christ. You cannot grow in grace. You cannot grow in love and joy in serving Christ apart from being in fellowship with other believers. And that's within the context of the local church. Friends, there is no true lone wolf Christianity. And Paul recognizes this, verse 19, and he said, and also for me. Paul said, pray for me. Remember who Paul is. Paul is an apostle. Paul has seen the glory of the resurrected Christ. Paul had had visions of the heavenly court of God. He has been ushered in the Spirit to the very throne, and he's seen things so wonderful, he can't even utter them. Such glory God has bestowed upon this man, such insight and understanding. He is brilliant in his intellectual acumen. He is such a devout follower of Christ. But Paul recognizes that he is a sinner, redeemed by grace. There is such remaining corruption in him. And for Paul, the more he matures in Christ, the greater he understands the depth of his own sinfulness. How great he sees that he is still weak. He is still weak in the flesh, that he is still in desperate need of God's mercy. Friends, one mark of the mature Christian is that he recognizes, he's humble. The mature Christian recognizes that even as he's growing in grace, there is sin that is being revealed that God is dealing with and that God is still working in his life. So, Paul illustrates for us that the Christian is dependent upon the faithful intercession of his brothers and sisters in Christ. Depend on that. Ask brothers and sisters to pray for you. Depend on their intercession. Nextly, verse 19, and also for me that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Paul makes a particular request of the church at Ephesus. He says, not only pray for me, I not only need prayer, but I need prayer for specific things. I need you to pray for me that words may be given to me. Words may be given to me. Paul recognizes that his understanding of the scriptures, his understanding of the gospel doesn't originate in him. You know, friends, I told you that Paul was a brilliant man. Paul had the equivalent of something like two PhDs. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a rabbi, a Jew of the Jews. This man knew the Bible frontwards, backwards, side to side. He probably had the whole Old Testament memorized. This guy was a scholar. But he recognized, as the Spirit gave life and understanding, that he could only understand, interpret the Word of God, obey what he was reading and understanding by God's grace. And he could only share the gospel faithfully if it was God who delivered to him the words to speak. Pray for me that words may be given to me. Friend, that's what I pray when I get up to preach to you. I pray that the Lord would give me words to say, that He would use the training that I've done in the study, all the work of preparing to preach. But at the end of the day, it's God the Holy Spirit who takes His word and gives understanding to me and also enables me to share the gospel and to preach faithfully to you. Because we are dependent on God the Holy Spirit to understand His word and to share His word. And words may be given to me. So guys, this is something you can pray for at home. Father, please give me the words to speak to my wife and to my children, to point them to Jesus. Grant me understanding and insight from your word that while I'm at home, while I'm at work, I can speak the truth. I can walk in love. I can bear witness to the gospel of your grace. Paul depends on the intercession of his brothers and sisters. He also illustrates for us that we are to pray that words may be given to us. We pray for insight into the scriptures. Dear friends, God wants you to understand the Bible. There are many things in the Bible that are hard to understand. We look at the book of Romans and we can see all the depths. Paul himself says, oh, the depths of the riches of the glory of God. Paul himself at the end of the day says, God's glory is unfathomable. But there is so much we can learn and profit from. So guys, the scriptures, they're like the ocean. At some points it's shallow enough that a child can wade in, but it's also deep enough to swallow an elephant. God wants you to understand His word. He's made it understandable to us. And by His Spirit He promises to add to our understanding. You remember Solomon, the king of Israel? You remember how Solomon offered up many sacrifices to God, and he was leading the people of God in worship at the altar at St. Gibeon. And that night, as he was sleeping, the Lord God appeared to Solomon in his dreams, and he said, ask, and it shall be granted to you. God gives to Solomon a blank check. He says, ask me whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. This young man, Solomon, asked for wisdom. He said, oh Lord, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and with an upright heart. And you, O God, have continued this great kindness to David, and you have given him a son who sits on his throne, as it is this day. Then Solomon says, but now, O Lord, I am but a little child. Not God to come out and go in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, O Lord my God, grant to your servant a wise and understanding heart to discern good from evil. For who, O Lord, can judge this great people of yours? Solomon came to the Lord and he said, O Lord, you have made me an under shepherd. I'm a little child. I don't have understanding or wisdom. I need to understand. I need a discerning heart, a discerning mind. I need for you to grant me understanding so that I can judge your people, that I can lead them and care for them and administer justice. And God said, because you've asked for the same, I will grant it to you. And God granted to Solomon great wisdom. James also says that if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives graciously and abundantly to all who ask without reproach. Dear Christian, your Father in heaven wants you to know Him. He wants you to grow in your love for Him. Your joy is dependent upon Him. He has given you His word, and He's promised to teach you by His Spirit. And He's also raised up within the local church folks that understand His word and can help us as we are growing in grace and growing in our understanding. So Paul illustrates for us that we are to depend upon the intercession of our brothers and sisters, that we are praying for insight daily. And the insight is to the end of what? And opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Friend, the end of the day is that the Christian doesn't just grow in knowledge and understanding so that he can you know, be on an island by himself. The Christian is called to be a witness. And opening my mouth boldly, Paul was saying, I pray that the Lord would put his word in my mouth, that like the prophet Isaiah, I would speak only what he has given to me, and that I might do so boldly. I would open my mouth. You see, friends, in the Old Testament, you see this common refrain where it would say the word of God came to Jeremiah, or the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, or the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. What that means is that the Spirit of God brought his word and put it in the mind of his prophet, and the prophet spoke from God. The word of the Lord came upon him, and he spoke. And so that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I want to speak nothing but the truth of God. I want that word to be in my mind and on my heart, and I want to proclaim it with boldness. Guys, this is the Apostle Paul praying for boldness. This is the Apostle Paul praying that God would make him a bold witness to the gospel of Christ. This is the man who stood before kings and emperors, the apostle who stood before raging mobs, who at every city he went to preach at, he was constantly being driven out by angry mobs. And yet, he prays for boldness. Friends, Paul realizes he has not arrived. And we need to realize that too. We have not arrived in the Christian life. We need God to continually strengthen us, not only in the knowledge of his word, but to give us boldness to speak. Boldness to proclaim. Guys, we are living in a culture and a time where it's become more difficult. As you know, our nation, we've had a lot of freedom in these United States to share the gospel very boldly and very powerfully. Guys, that's a huge privilege. Your brothers and sisters all around the world don't have that privilege and that joy to openly preach Christ and Him crucified. And we do. Now, whether or not we make use of that is another question, but we are called to be bold in our witness. And guys, as our culture changes, it will grow more difficult. As our culture secularizes, preaching Christ and Him crucified is more and more of an offense and less something that a society will tolerate. So guys, we need boldness today, just as Paul needed boldness. Open our mouths and just speak. Now guys, where does this boldness come from? This boldness comes because we have a settled confidence in the Lord. Remember the scripture says that God is for us, who can be against us? Imagine that. If God is for us, what can the world ultimately do to us? What ultimately do we have to fear from men and devils? Friends, if we are secure in Christ, we have nothing to fear. The biblical principle is this. If you and I fear God, there is nothing left to fear. Fear of God, trust in Christ, drives out all other fears. And we have boldness, not because we are confident in ourselves, but because we are confident in our Lord and in our Savior. So we are asking the Father to enable us to witness to Christ with boldness and fidelity. Notice that. Open my mouth to speak boldly. So not only does Paul want a bold spirit, not only does he want to be strong in his witness, but he wants to proclaim the content, the mystery of the gospel. Guys, being and making disciples, sharing the gospel, there's a concept. The mystery of the gospel. Understand that in biblical categories, mystery means something, realities that are veiled or hidden, but they are nonetheless active. They are realities, they're truths, they're things going on, and we're just not perceiving them in all of their clarity. So, for example, friends, remember that in the Old Testament, the saints were saved the same way we are. By grace alone, through faith alone. Ultimately, in Christ alone, and this is to the glory of God. There is one God, there is one gospel, there is one Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. But you see, friends, Abraham heard the word of God. He believed the promises of God, promises of a son, promises of salvation, promises that even Abraham understood weren't going to be fulfilled in Isaac, but were pointing beyond Isaac to a future son who was to come. Abraham saw the day of Christ, he saw the promises of God for a blessing and a son to come, and he believed God, and he took God at his word. And by faith, in the word of God, by faith, Abraham was justified. This justification was ultimately in Christ, and in righteousness, ultimately through the cross of Christ. You see, Abraham was looking forward to the Christ who was to come. We believe in Christ who has come, and who's coming again. So, there's a little bit of mystery that's been unveiled from the days of Abraham, right? Now we see that the promised son of Abraham is Christ. The promised heir through whom blessing would come to the nations is Jesus. He is the Messiah, the Savior not only of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles. But there's still mystery for us because we have not yet seen all of God's saving purposes completed. So, as like his life looks here, Abraham saw dimly, and as Revelation progressed, they got brighter and brighter and brighter until the Son of God appeared, and the mystery of the gospel was unfolded. God promises the salvation, find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. God commands all men everywhere to repent and believe upon Christ. This is the mystery unveiled. And that's the message that Paul's entrusted with. You see, friends, when Paul is converted, he's musing over the scriptures, right? And what did he do at Damascus? When he's converted, he immediately goes out to the synagogue and he says, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. And he calls those who hear to repent and believe the promises of God being fulfilled in Jesus. See, Paul was preaching a gospel that was grounded in the Word of God. Of saying promises of God, finding their yes and amen in Jesus. Now, so the mystery is being revealed. Remember, gospel means good news. We talk about evangelism, right? That word in the Greek, evangelos, the gospel. The process or the practice of sharing the gospel, the evangel. But the reason of good news, again, is the messenger coming back from battle and telling the town, we won. Or speaking to the citizenry and saying, today the son has a king. This is good news. But again, friends, we only know it's good news when we understand the bad news. The bad news that we are sinners estranged from God. We are rebels against our creation, that we had a guilt and a debt of sin that we could never pay. God has warned us that there is wrath and judgment to come, that He has promised that in Jesus, full forgiveness of sins and the righteousness that He requires for every sinner who will turn to trust in Him. Friends, it is good news. So, dear ones, the church as a whole, and each of us as disciples individually, we not only need a bold spirit, but we need to know the gospel. We've got to grasp the content. This gospel is a message from God is who we are and what Christ has done. Remember Jude in his epistle? Jude says, I was very eager, dear brothers, to write to you about our common salvation. But I found it necessary to you to write contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. You see, Jude was driven by the Holy Spirit to pin his letter as a defense against the one true gospel of God. Because even in the first century church, people were going off into other gospels, going off into other messages that were counterfeit and false. And Jude was reminding the gospel was given by God to his church through his word once and for all. Guys, this gospel is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. You know, guys, we don't have to make the gospel relevant. You know, we have to make application that's relevant. And that's what we try to do when we interpret the Word of God. We come, we understand its meaning, we try to illustrate it, but then we also apply it. But God, you don't have to make the gospel relevant, because the same circumstances that avail Paul and the Ephesians avail us today. We are sinners before a holy God. We are estranged from our Creator, and we need to be reconciled to God. And this comes only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, we need boldness of spirit, but we need to know the message. We need to devote ourselves to know the truth. So friends, do you know the message? Do you understand the gospel of grace? Do you understand that God is holy and that you are a sinner and that Christ is the only Savior? Let's devote ourselves to unpack this mystery as Paul did. This year, as we've been reading through the Bible, many of us have begun in Genesis and we're working our way through the Old Testament. Let us pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to enlighten our minds to see God's unfolding plan of redemption and to see it all coalesce and come together in Jesus. Let us pray that God would give us more insight and understanding of His Word so that we can speak with boldness wherever He has placed us. Let's ask the Father to enable us to witness to Christ with fidelity and boldness. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Paul also illustrates for us as Christians, as disciples, that we're never to forget who we are. We are sinners. We've been redeemed by grace. We've been reconciled to God. And more than that, Christ has commissioned us. Look back, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador. This is the same phrase he uses in 2 Corinthians 5:20 when he says of the church, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of God, Christ, be reconciled to God. That word ambassador means spokesman. It's the same sense we have today. We send an ambassador to another nation. We have an ambassador to Great Britain. He is representing our nation. He's representing the people of the United States and the government, the president. He's representing us in a foreign land. So, two brothers, this gives some insight into our calling as Christians. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We have been translated into the kingdom of God. We belong to Christ. And yet Christ, who has called us out of the world, has sent us back into the world as his spokesman, as his ambassador, as his witnesses. Guys, think of this for a moment. He chose us to be spokesmen. He wanted us to be representatives. Guys, God could do this job far better than us. If the choice was between, do you want Clay up here opening the Word of God and preaching to you, or do you want the Lord Jesus himself preaching to you, we would all choose, let's have Jesus preach to us. But Jesus, according to his infinite wisdom, the Father, according to his infinite purpose, said, no, I have chosen by the foolishness of preaching. I have chosen by the instrumentality of the witness of my saints. I will save my people. I will bring the gospel. Guys, God doesn't need us. He could do the job far better than we could. If God had wanted to, he could have printed the gospel in the clouds. He could have put it on human hearts. But he has chosen to put the gospel in his word and to entrust that message to us and to use us as his spokesman. And God, guess what? God has chosen not to work apart from us. He's chosen us to be his representatives. As this is, on the one hand, this is a great privilege and a great duty. You've got to keep both of these together. It's a great duty, friends. One, because Jesus says in his word, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Christ commands us to be and make disciples. You know, some people think about it. They say, well, if God is going to save his people, if God has stopped in salvation, why evangelize? Well, Christ commands us. But more than that, he's chosen to use us. He's chosen to use our witness. That's what Paul speaks of when he says in Romans 10, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The gospel proclaimed. God chooses to use us. And to use this frail, fickle, sin-stained witness. Guys, God appoints not only the end, but also the means to that end. God has appointed that he will save his people. He will give to Christ the bride that he's promised. He will gather in all his saints whom he has foreknown and foreloved from the foundation of the world. God will do this. And he has chosen the means to be our witness. Our faithful proclamation of the gospel. Our witness will be the means by which the Spirit will give life and grant faith and bring sinners to the Savior. So guys, it's a duty, but it's also a privilege. Guys, do you know that God's appointed from all eternity that there will be some brought into the kingdom of God by your witness? By you taking the time to share Christ with them? By your prayers for their salvation? God, this has appointed from all eternity that you could be a part of their eternal redemption. What could be more enjoyable than that? What higher privilege could we have than to be used of God to save sinners? God, we're engaged in an enterprise that's not a year or 10 years or 100 years. We are engaged in a work of God that will have eternal significance. God chooses to use us. We are ambassadors for Christ. And Paul says he's an ambassador in chains. Christ, I'm an ambassador in prison. Paul is saying I'm in prison because of the gospel, but now I'm an ambassador brought to Rome in chains. Other ambassadors were brought in great entourages with all kinds of pomp and circumstance. But Paul comes in chains. Guys, you are an ambassador for Christ. You are his chosen representative. You are his witness. In whatever circumstance you find yourself in today, around whatever people God has placed in your life. So that's why, friends, the mission of God, we have to have different lenses. And I'd love to stress to you the micro lens, to look at your family, to look at your friends, to look at the circle of influence that God has given to you. To look at your church family, but friends, we also look not only near but far. We look not only at home but abroad. And so we need to be changing our lens to see the mission of God. Guys, we have the privilege to be a part of the work of God near and far. We have missionaries that we have served with and that we support. We are part of a denomination that sends missionaries to foreign fields and to cities all throughout the country. Let's pray for them. Pray for the missionaries that have come to visit, for the pastors that we know that have come to church plant. Pray for the church in foreign countries. Perhaps when you have a little time and you read about something going on in China, or you see something going on in India, perhaps we'll take time to pray for the church and to pray that God will strengthen believers there to declare the gospel boldly. But friends, we are ambassadors for Christ, whatever circumstance we find ourselves. Guys, God chooses to use our witness to be the means by which sinners hear the gospel. And the Spirit takes that word and brings it home. The Spirit gives life so that sinners see with eyes to see and hear with ears to hear, and they repent and believe. Guys, do you remember the parable of the sower we read? Remember, there's four seeds, four soils, right? It's probably better to call that parable the parable of the soils rather than the parable of the sower. But Jesus explains that the sower is himself, but he's also the church. It's believers who sow the word. So friends, when you're at home with your families, when you're at work, when you are at school, you are speaking the truth. You are sharing the gospel. It's like you're throwing seed. And you're throwing it wherever you go. By the Spirit, he is leading us to speak the truth in love. That seed is being scattered. And it is landing upon human ears. Remember, faith comes by hearing. This is a message of truth. It comes first to the mind as the only avenue to the heart. Remember, we teach the primacy of the mind, not because faith lodges in the mind, but because it's the only access to the heart where faith truly lodges. So we speak the truth. We speak rational words. We speak clearly. We articulate these propositions from the scriptures. We sow the seed. But it's God who has prepared the soil. And there will be some who, they'll hear the gospel and be like the seed on the path. It'll be snatched away. There'll be no result. It just goes one ear, not the other. There will be some times when we share the gospel and it will look as though it has taken root. The person truly believes they've been born again. They're repenting. But later, their life, licentiousness, their love for the world, their fleeing and refuting Christ in the day of tribulation proves that though they were professing Jesus as Lord, they did not have him in their hearts. But there will be some friends who are the good soil. Those whom God has foreknown and foreloved from the foundation of the world, and your witness God will use, and that seed of the gospel will fall, and it will take root, and it will grow, and there will be some who believe. Your witness is not in vain. Your sharing of Christ and Him crucified is not profitable, because that word will fall on some that good soil that God's prepared. And it will take root, and it will grow, and it will be fruitful. You notice Jesus said the fruitfulness is incredible. One seed yields 30, 60, 100-fold of fruit. Friends, the Christian life is to be overflowing with obedience, with fruitfulness. Paul says it this way, and I think it was 1 Corinthians. He says, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. Always remember that, friends. In the ministries of our church, there are some days of planting, there are some days of watering, and we are very much again in a planting and watering season, but God has promised to bring the growth. He will bless His Word. He will bless His people as we are faithful to share Christ and to live for His glory. There will come fruit. God will save. Because it's all of Him. Salvation is the work of God from start to finish. And He has chosen to bring us into this wonderful, gracious enterprise. So, friends, seek by God's grace to grow in boldness. And that's how Paul ends. He says, I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Guys, Paul recognizes that he must declare the gospel boldly. He recognizes the temptation in his own heart for cowardice, which we all recognize in ourselves. Guys, sometimes it's so easy for us just to not talk about those things. To discuss smaller issues. And God, not every conversation you have with a coworker or a friend needs to be a full-fledged gospel presentation. But we ought to always be thinking, Lord, how can I glorify you in this conversation, in this circumstance, with this relationship I have? Lord, will you open opportunities for me to speak the truth, to share Christ? And you know, friends, as we pray for the Lord to give us opportunity to speak boldly, He provides it. You know, guys, it might be a little things like, oh man, you know, my teenage daughter, she's just doing this and that, and I just can't get a handle on her. Why is she so this way? And you have teenage daughters, you can go, well, you know, this is what I've experienced, but this is what the Bible says. You know, we are to raise up our children in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. We're trusting Christ. We are hoping in His steadfast love. So, friends, there will be many occasions that you have to intersect the truth of the gospel as you just have everyday conversations with others. It can be anything. How you do your taxes, how your work ethic, why you go to school, or what you do with your retirement years, how you spend your life for the glory of God. Friends, right now in your life, God has intersected many, many people. Friends, families, neighbors. And these are relationships that we must pray for. And ask God to strengthen us that we might be bold to speak the gospel as He gives opportunity. Because, friends, there's a lot of lostness. And in our community, friends, there's many people we don't know the Lord. We pray for them. We look for opportunities to share the gospel with them and serve them. That's one principal reason why we do what we do on Wednesday nights. Part of the reason this Wednesday night ministry to children and students in our community exists is because we want to fulfill this commission. We want to trust the Lord. And as His word goes forth, it will bear fruit. So guys, I know, you know, you may feel discouraged when you look at, you know, our church, when you look at the churches in our area, and it just seems like with COVID and everything, it's just clamped down, and just everything just is ground to a halt. But I want you to take fresh joy and confidence that this is the Lord's gospel. This is His word. He's promised to bless it, and He's promised to use us. And that as we are faithful to go and to serve and to proclaim the gospel with fidelity, God will bless it. He will save sinners. He will glorify His name. I need to be a part of that. Remember, Isaiah says, "My word I sent forth from me," the Lord says. "It will accomplish the purposes that I have sent it forth. It will not return to me void." I only use this word. So, friends, let us speak, be bold in the Lord, not in ourselves, and seek by God's grace to grow in boldness as we revere Christ as Lord. So, as we close, friends, this privilege to be an ambassador for Christ is for believers. Unless or until you're reconciled to God, not only are you not an ambassador for Christ, but you're still a stranger. Still dead in trespasses and sins. You need a Savior. Dear friends, let me urge you today. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. If you hear the voice of God, the call to repent and believe upon Christ, let me urge you to come. Christ says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And when it comes to me, you'll find rest for his soul. Friends, while you draw breath, mercy is proclaimed to you. Salvation, full and free, is promised. Remember, the gospel is also a command. It is a full, faithful promise, but God does command all men everywhere to repent. Because He appointed the day when He will judge the world in righteousness by the man Christ Jesus, whom He's raised from the dead. So, dear ones, if you hear His voice, come. Let's pray. Father, we ask for blessing today. We ask that you bless your people by your word, enable, equip, energize us to be bold in our gospel witness. Lord Jesus, we want to live for you. We want to know you more. We want to serve you more faithfully. Lord, we confess that we are weak, frail, and fickle. Oh Lord, we pray, put our confidence not in ourselves, but in you. Father, teach us to treasure this high privilege and joyful responsibility to be your ambassadors. Father, bless your church, bless your word, and we ask it all in Jesus' name.